Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Talking with People, a QF production. I am your host, Adam Pallant. On today's episode, we continue our NFL team-by-team recap and previews with a deep dive into the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, in my opinion, this still is a real good team, with the big question mark being the health of quarterback Joe Burrow. Bengals did some great things in the offseason, restructuring Joe Mixon's contract to bring him back, signing former Chief tackle Orlando Brown Jr., former Rams safety Nick Scott. But can this team, who was in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago and looked real good last year, bring it back and even win it? Well, today's guest will have the opportunity to give us 2 cents. So with that said, I am very honored to have as my guest, my former Trenton Thunder roommate number two, a man with tremendous intellect and the looks of an Adonis. He is a Red Sox fan, so he has his faults. But he is a Bengals fan and one of my favorite people in the state of Ohio. The third member of the group sales trio, my friend, Matt Armentano. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing very well, Adam. How are you?
Feeling great today. Feeling great. As we talked before we got on there, I dropped off my youngest at college. So I'm feeling strong and the house feels lighter, although a little bit empty, but it's okay. We take a deep breath and know that time marches on.
Good. I dropped off my oldest son at college, and now I'm left with my wife and two daughters, so I'm feeling outnumbered.
Yeah, you're right. 2-1. Wow. Okay. So hopefully my presence here, both in audio and video, will help you for the moment. And we're going to talk some Cincinnati Bengals football. You feel good about it?
Feel great.
All right. So everybody, let's all sit back, make sure we spell Cincinnati correct this time, and let's get into it. So this is going to be a fun little time here. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I think that's a trivia alert. So I don't know if we're able to hear that. It was very low. Whoever did that, let's get that volume going again. But here is trivia. So we're going to see how much of a Bengals fan you are. So here's number one. In Super Bowl 23, this is 1989, which Bengals DB dropped an easy interception on the San Francisco final drive that, if he had intercepted it, would have secured the win for Cincinnati? Do you remember who that was?
I think it was, I'm going to go with Barney Bussey.
You got the B right. It was actually Lewis Billups.
Oh, Lewis Billups. Yeah.
You know, by the way, he died in a car wreck in the late 90s. So, you know, let's toast to him. I didn't expect you to get that because that's so obscure. So I'm going to give you an easier one. What player, first time since 2008, will not be on the Bengals this year?
Which player for the first time since 2008?
Yes, he's been with the team since 2008. This will be the first year he's not on the roster.
I gotcha. Yeah. Cincinnati's own Kevin Huber.
That is correct. I knew you'd get that one because that's more recent. And yeah, he retired July 7th. So wow. That's a big move on.
I thought you were going to go with who broke his leg, and I was going to know Tim Crumrine. He lives about a mile up the street from me.
You see him limping around?
He is still pretty spry. He recovered well and is a big man.
Oh, that's good. Well, so you're living in a classy area with all the Bengals around. All right. So we're going to start with a recap of what happened last year. So this was the Bengals last year with the Bengals' fourth season under head coach Zach Taylor. And after an 0-2 start, by the way, losing to the Steelers, the Bengals turned it around, winning 12 of the last 14 for a franchise best 12-4. They beat Baltimore and Buffalo in the playoffs, but unfortunately met the Chiefs in the AFC Championship and lost a really close game. So it's hard to say what went wrong, aside from Joseph Asai's late personal foul against the Chiefs. But in your opinion, what went wrong last year that cost the Bengals to be moving on?
You know, it's hard to say what went wrong when we lost to the Chiefs in Kansas City. I mean, we had beaten them three times in a row. You know, what went wrong would have been, you know, we didn't lose those crappy games to the Steelers and the Browns that cost us home field advantage in that AFC Championship game could have been in Cincinnati and not Kansas City. You know, leading up to that game, we had the game with the Bills where DeMar Hamlin, you know, suffered that horrific injury. I still feel like we were going to win that game, which would have helped us also with that home field advantage. But, you know, we never got it. And when it came time for the playoffs, we still had to go through Buffalo, which we won in the snow, and then still had to go to Kansas City and had him, you know, down to the wire. So,
it's hard to point to something wrong. As I said, it was tough. Again, if you had been the Steelers or had been the Ravens, with that elimination of the game, you would have gotten home field just based on a better record.
Yeah. So that was it's hard to say because they won so many in a row to end the season. Mm-hmm. They just threw up a couple stinkers early on, but.
Well, I guess that they're an amazing team. They really are. And, you know, you can't win them all unless you're, you know, the Chiefs. So, well then let's have some fun. What went right? What was the best parts about this team last year?
The best parts of it is really young and still improving. The, you know, Burrow stayed healthy all year. You know, you talk about, you know, the sacks that he would take. Part of it's his fault. Part of it's the line's fault. But, you know, the continued development with him and Ja'Marr Chase and mm-hmm. T. Higgins and the offense, even with the down year from Mixon, which I thought coming in was going to be great. And then the part that, you know, gets no, that I don't think gets any credit, is the defense. And Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, is just knows how to push the right buttons, dial it up against, you know, good teams, and they're never going to be the flashiest team. They just find ways to win a lot. So that's, you know, that's what I'd like to see, if they can keep that improvement going.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably spend a good hour saying all the great things about this team. Burrow, you know, throwing for over 4,400 yards. Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins combining for over 2,000 receiving yards. And they're a quality team up and down the lineup, which is why, you know, we'll go over the expectations of the schedule in a few minutes. But you got to admit, they were the best. They were a top two team there and really very easily could have been representing the division or the league in the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. And that's, you know, that'll be the most interesting part. Whereas, you know, the last 2 years, people didn't expect a whole lot or just kept, you know, I feel like kept expecting them to stumble and this just isn't going to keep going. And, you know, they made the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship. Now they're being looked at. All right. You're not sneaking up on anybody. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the favorite in your division. Other than the Chiefs, you're top two in the AFC. So, you know, how do you transition from being the hunted to the hunter will be interesting.
It will. And you just got to point to the fact that Burrow is now top five best quarterback in the game. That's it really turns a team into a yearly contender when you've got that type of quality quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. I've lived through plenty of seasons without a quarterback like that, so I know that.
Careful, Bernie. You know, Boomer Esiason is on the local radio station, and he may or may not listen to these podcasts, so just be careful. You don't want to piss him off.
No, the Boomer years were great. I have no problem with the Boomer years. Plenty of other years in between there.
All right, so, well, we know the great year they had, so we don't even have to harp on that because there was no negatives really outside of the last game they played. So let's talk about the improvements they made in the draft. So we're going to break down the 2023 draft of the Bengals. It's amazing the type of big football schools they went to find players up and down this, you know, outside of maybe not a Georgia and Ohio State, but wow, did they go to the prime. So let's start with the first pick, defensive end Miles Murphy out of Clemson. This guy, big guy with speed. What do you think of him?
He's a guy that, you know, seemingly checks every box with his abilities and his physical attributes. He came into college as, you know, a giant recruit and, you know, for whatever reason, hasn't put up, you know, gaudy numbers on the field. So, you know, my hopes are is that he gets, you know, to the Bengals, gets coached up a little bit better. He's not going to be thrown right into the fire. And you can help turn those, you know, all the gifts that he has into more production on the field. Because you just got to get to the quarterback. Every team's looking for people who can sack the quarterback. And, you know, we're hoping he can be that guy.
Well, Clemson, he was there for a reason. So hopefully it does translate well to the NFL.
Yeah.
So then you got number 60, cornerback, DJ Turner, the second out of Michigan. You're talking another young player for that, you know, pretty good Cincinnati secondary.
I know. And I, you know, being a Buckeye fan, you know, I hate to say that our secondary is full of Wolverines, but the first round pick from 2 years ago, Dax Hill is moving into safety. And now you've got this DJ Turner. And luckily for him, probably will come in as like the third or fourth corner. But speed, dude, is fast. That's what I like, you know. He was, I think, one of the fastest guys at the combine for corners. Wow. He's played well in the preseason. So, yeah, I hate to say I love a Wolverine in the Bengals backfield, but, man, he looks good so far.
Well, you know, he may not be DJ Turner 1, but not too bad DJ Turner 2. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
All right. So another great was the third pick. Again, another addition to that secondary future start, even with the sign of Nick Scott, yet safety Jordan Battle at Alabama.
Yeah, another dude, you know, I was kind of surprised when they made that pick. I wasn't, you know, really looking for safety that high. I was, you know, either thinking not that. I wasn't thinking safety in the third round, but everyone raves about him. They brought in Nick Scott, and I know he started for the Rams in the Super Bowl, but, you know, everyone just says this Jordan Battle started for 3 years at Alabama. He's like another coach on the field. They wowed him. They wowed him in the meetings just by reading defenses. He's always in the right spot. Bengals do like to play a lot of three safety defense. So, you know, I could see him getting on the field, you know, maybe even more than their second round pick. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do because, you know, this league is all about throwing the ball. And he seems to be able to be good at, you know, playing that role deep in the secondary to prevent those long passes.
Yeah, he's been quality so far, and I mean his name really stood out with the review. So you had all right, so now you've got your defense guys in. Here came the offense picks for the Bengals. You got wide receiver Charlie Jones out of Purdue. This guy's a good route runner with good hands.
Yeah, he was kind of interesting. He, you know, played I think 3 years at Iowa, and they don't throw the ball. At least not to receivers. Transferred to Purdue for his last year, and they throw the ball over the place, and he had a monster year. Mm-hmm. So I think it's another one of those things where he'll maybe be the fourth or fifth receiver, but after this year, you've got T. Higgins and, you know, Tyler Boyd being a more of a slot receiver that, you know, maybe he is Boyd's replacement after this year. He's also a good returner, which we've kind of struggled at. We don't have, you know, any kind of game-breaking punt returner. So I think the hope was, you know, he can get on the field that way. But, you know, he put up a giant year at Purdue. So I'm hoping that translates into a nice career with the Bengals.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see why it can't. Again, you just keep adding more and more weapons. Like they did at 163, running back Chase Brown at Illinois. I loved how they described one of the experts said he's built like a power back, but has genuine straight line speed that is weaponized by short area burst, explosive, and the ability to cut on a dime. Agree?
Yeah. I was kind of hoping they were going to go running back a little bit earlier, you know, maybe second or third round, and then came down to the fifth and he was still there. He, you know, he was a workhorse at Illinois, carried the ball a lot. It's another one of those things where you're not asking him to come in and be the starter. You know, Mixon's still going to get a bulk of the carries, but you come in, see what he can do, change the pace kind of guy. And then, you know, Mixon, he's had some interesting events occur that he may not be around for much longer. They restructured his contract to keep him. But, you know, this guy may be, you know, play a bigger role down the line than just this year.
Well, I mean, they lost Perrine, and I know they brought back Trayvon Williams, but, you know, I think it'd be opportunities for him.
Yeah, should be. Yeah, you're right. I forgot. Yeah, I was sad to see Perrine go. you know, not even for an expensive deal. And, you know, he didn't break the bank, but I think he just thought he'd have more of an opportunity in Denver for some reason. But
yeah, well, 2 years, $8 million. Yeah. I'd go to Denver as well for that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So you got the running back there, and then you picked up another wide receiver. We're just chatting about him pre-show. Andre Yosevash out of right here in Princeton, New Jersey, my neighboring town, calling him Yoshi. They described him. He didn't play against high-level competition in college, and he's raw. But if he pans out, he can be a major weapon.
Yeah, they're throwing him in a lot in the preseason. I think he's probably gotten the most targets in their two games they've played. So they're trying to see what they've got here. I know they love him as an athlete. They love him as, you know, his fit. He's big. He's fast. He's strong. But can he catch the ball? So I know they've talked about, you know, even just working on catching the ball away from his body, trying to just, you know, polish him up as a receiver. And it's, you know, like it's another one of those things where you've got two good receivers that are free agents after this year. Can't keep everybody. So I think people are excited about him, seeing what he can do on, you know, special teams, maybe being your fifth, sixth receiver, and then, you know, hopefully build on that for the coming years after that. Yeah. But Yoshi's already a fan favorite here.
You gotta love it. They call him Yoshi in Cincinnati, and fan and listeners, if you want to see some funny, there's a great YouTube video of the Cincinnati Bengals players trying to pronounce and spell Andre's last name, which is absolutely hilarious. So go to YouTube, watch it. Just cracks you up just seeing him trying, because even is a guy who thought he knew it, almost had it. It's really a tough way to spell it, because it doesn't even spell the way you truly say it. So I like to just call him Yoshi.
Yeah, me too, because I'm not even certain how to say his last.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so interesting pick here. I'm always surprised when a team drafts a punter, when they picked Brad Robbins out of Michigan. Anyway, I know you love all these Michigan guys. They say he's got tremendous hang time, but wow, a punter at 217?
Yeah, well, I guess one thing we talked about, you know, what went wrong, and it pains me to say it, you know, longtime Bengal punter Kevin Huber was done, you know, after last year. They kept Drew Chrisman, Ohio State Buckeye, as kind of the heir apparent. And when it came down to it, needed a big punt in the AFC Championship game, had just a punt that was easily receivable, ran down the field and put the Chiefs in good position, you know. So as much as I was really hoping he succeed, they brought in this Brad Robbins, and who so far has done well in camp. And, you know, you need those big, high, booming punts to get your guys a chance down there to cover them. Chrisman would kick them pretty far, but they'd be these line drives that you didn't have any chance to get down there and tackle them. So, I like when you're able to do that pick. That means your roster is pretty set in most other places that you can, you know, take one of the best punters in the draft. It worked with McPherson as a kicker. You know, people talked about the Bengals taking Evan McPherson in the fifth round as a kicker. You know, doubled it up with a punter. So I like it.
I like the possibility. Again, I'm trying not to be overly optimistic about the Bengals being in the same division as the Steelers, but the young kicker, young punter, McPherson, Robbins combo, that could be, you know, I don't want to say that I'll be rooting for the Bengals, but if the Steelers don't make it, it's very easy for me to easily transfer and become a Bengals rooter, because I just like the team they're building.
Yeah, it has been fun to, you know, in any sport, I like a team that builds itself. You know, you see them progress from youngsters to veterans. It's easier to root for a team like that instead of a team that just goes out and buys all their, you know, buys the big new fancy free agents all the time.
Yes.
I like it to supplement your team with that, but it's really fun to watch.
Absolutely.
And really get to know these guys.
Yes. It's easier to root against the Mets and the Yankees. It's more fun to root for the teams that build it through the draft and watch these homegrown guys building something special.
Yes. It's been pleasant to watch the Yankees and the Mets stink this year.
Yes. If the Red Sox win, they can imagine sweeping in Yankee Stadium. It's amazing.
I know.
I don't know the score going on right now. We can look at it as we go, but when I left, it was 1-1. All right. Let's see. The draft ended. They picked up a cornerback, DJ Ivy, Miami, Florida. It was a nice late cornerback prospect, good size. What do you think of DJ?
Another real fast guy. You know, he's really looking to replace the bottom cornerbacks on the team. If you pick a guy that's big, fast, big and fast, I really like that. You know, at that point, you're really just finding guys that are probably not even going to be active on game day, can fill in when needed. You know, I just like getting as much talent as you can. He seems to fit a lot of those boxes. In the preseason, he seems like he's played better than the guys they have. So I like it. You know, it's really just you're just hoping it works out.
Yeah.
As a pick that late, but no, I like it so far.
Well, there you go. Well, not everyone can be the Brock Purdy.
No. Yeah, I'll still be surprised to see how that works this year.
By the way, just it's the top of the ninth, 5-5. Red Sox have a man on second, nobody out.
All right.
All right. So we both agree that the draft was very strong. They picked up guys they needed. They picked up depth. They picked up young guys to back up the veterans. So as we move forward to 2023 and as we move into picking the schedule, I got to ask you, as a you're in the area, what are you hearing? Is Burrow healthy? I mean, is he going to be ready by week one? Is going to be red? Not only ready, but he's going to be revved up by week one.
Yeah. I think he will be fine by week one. Whereas other teams play a lot of their starters, play a lot of guys in the preseason, Zach Taylor's chosen not to. So even if he was healthy, I don't even know how much he really would have played. Mm-hmm. We've seen him, you know, videos of him at camp. He's running, he's jogging, sprinting, throwing. I think they're just, you know, being really cautious. I would be beyond shocked if he didn't play at Cleveland that first game. Okay. And I think he'll be fine.
All right. Well, there you go. So I think, as I said, from the start of my, from the start of the episode and when I did my intro, Burrow's health is going to really make or break this team early on, because what he got, you got Simeon, you got Browning, you got Sinnott in the, you know, all trying to be his backup. I don't know how good those guys are, but they're not Burrow.
No, and I don't even like that it's, you know, none of those guys can even, you know, keep you afloat if, you know, Burrow's just down for a game or two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I really wish they could have found, I was talking with my son about this. I'm like, who could it be? You know, there's got to be someone better than Trevor Siemian that could come in and at least keep you afloat for a few plays or a game or so. But, yeah.
I heard there was a guy named Andy Dalton around. Isn't he still around?
I would be all for Andy Dalton. I think he's still on a team somewhere. Maybe the Saints. I don't know where he is, but yeah, he'd be perfect. I would love that.
And Evan Vandermonde, the great. That would have been a nice circle. It would have been a nice circle.
I know. I don't want him to start every game, but I wouldn't mind if he came in and finished some out.
Yes. That, well, it was fun. I think it was the Jets. It was fun watching him with the Jets. That's for sure.
Really?
All right. So, we're gonna now go into the pick in the games. You're gonna tell me who you think if the Bengals are gonna win or lose. I gotta tell you, I was very shocked to see that the Bengals only play 4 primetime games this year. That's not showing any love at all for this team. So there's somebody just doesn't like this team.
Yeah, maybe just, you know, small market aspect of it. I don't know, but still, there were years when we had one. And it was against, you know, a Thursday night against the Dolphins, you know. Yeah. So at least we're starting to see, you know, some better primetime game. We used to just get one because you had to. And now 4 of them, I'm fine with that. That's good.
From my participation trophy to 4 primetime games is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, before we do that, did you know that the Bengals are traveling the fewest miles of any NFL team in 2023? So another positive. Nice. So they got that going for them, which is nice.
I do like that. Yes.
And before we get into that, the Red Sox have just taken the lead, one out, second and third, up 6-5.
Nice.
Right, there you go. That's real time, folks, real time. Going for the sweep. All right, here we go. The Bengals kicking off the regular season. It is September 10th, and they are going to Cleveland. What do you think is going to happen, Matt?
I'd sure like to say we definitely will win that game, but for whatever reason, Burrow and the Bengals have trouble with the Browns, especially at Cleveland. So, man, I would love to say that's a win. We're somehow probably going to lose that game.
I agree, and only because it's really, and I know you said that Zach Taylor doesn't play their plays usually in the preseason, but I'm just nervous about Burrow. And again, even if he's 100% healthy, I'm going to be wrong, and I think Cincinnati is going to be dominant. But I just feel it's going to be some rust. I feel it, and I think the Browns' defense is going to be strong this year because I just went through the picks with Bill Terhune last episode. So I'm going to give the Bengals a loss as well to kick off their 2023 season 0-1.
Yeah, I do, agree with that rust, and I think it's one of those things that Zach Taylor does, kind of he plays to that. We don't want to be our best at the beginning. We want to make sure we're strong and fresh at the end, and it's worked the last 2 years. So right. Guess I'm going to just keep trusting him on that.
There you go. Okay, so we got 0-1, both of us, but then they go back home to kick off the year versus the Ravens.
Yeah, we're winning that game.
You're winning that game.
Just the way the Browns have our number, we have the Ravens' number more.
All right, so you got them with a win. Now, again, I'm trying to stick to similar picks that I've had. I like the Ravens this year, and I like them. I don't like this. I like the splits this year, in division. So the way the Bengals just seem to struggle early and then pick it up, like my Phillies this year, innings 1 through 7, they're horrible. Innings 8 and 9, they're going to score 7 or 8 runs for you. So I'm actually starting the Bengals 0-2 this year while you go 1-1.
So, yeah. If it was on the road, I would have maybe picked the Ravens at home. Yeah. I think.
All right. That's and it could, and most likely going to happen. But again, maybe it's the heart and the hope that the Bengals are not that good, but I'm giving it to the Ravens early. Bengals 0-2, you have a 1-1. Then they stay home, play the Rams on Monday night.
Yeah, home Monday night against the Rams. Super Bowl revenge game. I don't really love where the Rams are this year. I think the Bengals are going to win that one.
And that's when I agree. I think the Bengals, on my side, in my universe, they're getting the first win against the Rams. You got them at 2-1, not too shabby. I don't think the Rams are going to be that tough. I think they just got too many issues inside that locker room. So then you've got not that long to go. You got Sunday, and you're on the road versus the Titans.
Yeah, that's another team that I feel like we've got their number. And if Ryan Tannehill's your quarterback, I think we're probably still going to win. We've been able to shut down Derrick Henry for the most part for the recent times when we've played him. So I think we're winning that one.
I agree as well. I think they too much have been put on Henry's shoulders these many a season. And I think the Bengals defense is going to prevent Tannehill from throwing the ball anywhere. So I'm also giving it to the Bengals. I got them at 2-2. You got them at 3-1, so only one win difference. By the way, we go to the bottom of the ninth. Red Sox scored a run, so 6-5. So time to bring in the closer. Let's see what happens there.
All right.
So now, 7 days later, you got the staying on the road versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals are really bad. If we don't win that game, there's a problem there. I'm not the tall guy, and Kyler Murray's about as tall as I am. So maybe it's 10 taller than me. But, yeah, I mean, that's just one of those games that, boy, you really shouldn't lose that game.
That's true. You should not lose. And I don't think the Bengals are going to. The irony here is that the Cardinals are so bad and the Oakland Athletics are so bad, both teams Kyler Murray would have played for. So I think he's got some juju going there. He's just brought negativity to both franchises.
Yeah, he was hosed no matter where he went.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so 4-1 on your side, 3-2 on my side, and then they're coming home to Bengals. What's going to happen versus Seahawks?
you know, I don't still believe the Geno Smith I trained. He somehow exceeded the expectations last year, but it's a home game. We're tough at home. Seahawks have some weapons. I don't think their defense is that great. I think we ought to be able to win that one at home pretty easily.
So you're going with their fifth in a row, and I'm saying I agree. Although many of the other teams that I was previewing, I thought Seattle was going to be great, but I just don't think they got enough weapons to match up against the Bengals. So I'm giving the Bengals their fourth win in a row, and at 4-2 before the bye, you got them at 5-1. They got a bye in week seven. How do you feel? Do you like it that early? Do you like it later? Do you like it earlier? How do you feel about it that early?
It's probably okay. It's all right. I maybe would have liked it a couple weeks later, but it's enough time to take a rest. You know, you've played a few games, you get a rest before you jump into the second half of your season. So it's probably okay.
Okay. So it's not been most of the people so far. They like a week 9, week 10 midseason.
Yeah.
If it's that early, you know, now you've got a good 6-game say, okay, what's going right? What's going wrong? Let's fix it for that. So it's not bad. So you got week 7 bye, and then gives you plenty of time to travel to San Francisco to face the Niners.
Yeah, which is one I'd like to say we'd win, but at San Francisco, I mean, if it's Brock Purdy, their quarterback, I don't know. We're probably going to lose that game.
Wow. So that's funny. Here we go. I don't believe in the Niners this year. Brock Purdy or Trey Lance. I think, you know, again, outside of Christian McCaffrey and their defense, I think the Bengals match up with them very well. And I'm not a believer. And again, it's not been a secret. Any of the past 5 episodes, I had the most of the teams beating the Niners, obviously except the Steelers, of course. So I'm going to give it to the Bengals. So you've got them at 5-2, and I've got them at 5-2. So far, the record's standing the test of time. We now go back home. Here it is again. Here in Buffalo, coming to town.
Yep, we are winning that game. I think we have, you know, I hate it. I hate to see when they do an AFC power ranking and they have the Bills ahead of the Bengals. There's nothing evidential that says they should be ahead of the Bengals. Bengals have made the Super Bowl, AFC Championship. They've beaten the Bills. They looked like the better team for the first few drives in the game last year. We're going to beat that team. We're going to beat the Bills.
Maybe they were doing alphabetical quarterbacks. Allen does come before Burrow.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but I know.
That's it.
Yeah, that one bothers me. Obviously, if you're going to rank the Chiefs ahead of the Bengals, I get it. But
not the Bills.
The Bills, no. I don't see how you can say that.
Right. All right, so there you go. And I agree with you. I think the Bills have too much turmoil with Diggs and Allen. And I think something's wrong there. I think they're going the wrong way. There's some mentality issues there. So they'll still be a good team because they still got talent. But I don't think they got enough to beat the Bengals. And that's, again, I keep saying the Bengals are strong. They've gotten stronger. As long as they've got that backfield secured. I'm worried about the Bengals' backfield, but they've got the weapons in the air. And I think that Burrow can throw the ball really well. So we still got, we're 6-2 going at home versus the Texans.
When we don't need to talk much about that.
Not even. Let's move on. We both agree 7-2. Texans are terrible. Terrible.
I like to see C.J. Stroud do well, but, you know, their team's bad.
All right. So, well, now you got 4 days, a primetime game at Baltimore.
Yeah, these three next games in a row are going to be tough. At Baltimore, we've actually played well at Baltimore. We really stomped them 2 years ago. They, you know, still let you hear about Burrow throwing the ball up so many, trying to hit 500 yards. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't feel like we don't have a chance. But, you know, odds would say we would probably lose at Baltimore at that point.
So you're picking a loss to drop them to 6-3. Again, I'm all for the splits. And I think the way they lost early in the year on my picks, in my reality, I think they're going to come back and on prime time, which they only got four of the chances to really shine. They're going to beat the Ravens. Although I do like Jackson, I do like the OBJ connection. Yeah, they're starting to get a little old up there. You know, Jackson issues in the offseason, they're going to be good. They're going to be a 12-win team, but not one of them is going to be there versus the Bengals. I got the Bengals going to 7-2, while you got them going 6-3, which is still pretty good.
All right.
My math is right. All right. So now I got a feeling I know where this is going to go. You're back in Cincinnati versus Steelers.
Yeah, realistically, we're not going to lose at home this year, so we're beating the Steelers at home.
All right, there you go. I'm sticking with my pick, same as well as I did when I viewed the Steelers. The Steelers are good. Pickett's looking better, but he's not in. They're not in the Bengals 13-14 wins what I'm expecting. So I also pick them against beat Steelers. I got them at 8-2 after that. You got them at 7-3. How about going to Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know, I think you're starting to see. I wasn't sure what Trevor Lawrence was really going to be, but he looks like he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I just think we've got a, you know, up and down better roster. I think Burrow's better than Lawrence, so I think we're going to win that game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They are an improved team, and they're a playoff team, but they're not better than the Bengals, so I also give them the win. So you got them at 8-3. I got them at 9-2. Coming back for the Colts.
Yeah, win.
All right, so again, not even worth it. They're a terrible, terrible team. I agree. So let's look at the interesting one. They stay in home with the Vikings, which, by the way, we have no idea when or why or how or where they're going to play it as far as time or TV. We just know it's in Cincinnati. So what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I like Kirk Cousins as, you know, I'm glad he's not my quarterback, but I think he's a fun guy, and I like to – the Vikings are just one of those teams that I like to watch and kind of root for. I like Justin Jefferson, buddies with Chase and Burrow from LSU. But, yeah, we got to win that game. We're going to win that one.
I think so. Again, I'm just not – I think a little too much, too many issues going on in Minnesota. Before we jump to the Steeler game, by the way, that's one out. Red Sox holding on to a 6-5 lead. We need Jensen to pull that out. He's on my fantasy team. I need points. But the Yankees have two men on, one out. He just struck out whoever was batting. So 6-5 Red Sox, bottom of the ninth, one out. Okay. So now we go to Pittsburgh. Not too many weeks ago, you gave him a win when it was in at home, but now it's in Pittsburgh.
So here's where we're looking. Where I said about what went wrong last year is, man, we need to have the AFC Championship game in Cincinnati this year. Because after the Steelers game, you're looking ahead to the Chiefs in Kansas City. So I'm really, really hoping that they use that as a motivator, knowing that they're at Kansas City next week, which could give them the home field advantage to the playoffs. And I don't buy Kenny Pickett. I don't love him maybe as much as it sounds like you do. So yeah, I think the Bengals are going to win at Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right. The only reason I'm picking the Steelers is because I have to, because in my heart of hearts, I think the Bengals will be looking ahead at the Chiefs, and the Steelers is going to eat this one out. Pickett's just going to, it's like a little tiny critter. It's going to run past you when you open the door and you don't even see him because you're looking ahead to the Chiefs game. And I have the Bengals losing that game to fall to 11-3. You have them at 11-3 now. There you go. So we're both 11-3. Yep. Am I right? I'm right, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so. Did we miss a game?
No, we're week 14. So we're good. Yes. 11-2 and 10-3. Now I'm 11-3 or 11-3. Yes. Looking at, all right, Kansas City, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Oh, boy.
4:25 CBS game on Sunday, December 31st.
Yeah. I would love to. I will say that we can really win that game. Prior to the AFC Championship, we beat them three times in a row, twice for in Kansas City. So, yes, we can win that game. If I had to really bet on it, no, we're not going to win that game.
Okay.
But I think it'll be another close one. I really, really in my heart hope we win that one, but we're probably going to lose.
You're going to give it a loss. I agree. By the way, we don't encourage gambling. And listeners, if you have a gambling issue, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's all keep it safe. But I agree. I would not bet on it. I'm going to say the Bengals are falling to 11-4, as do you. And I think that 15, I think we lost something somewhere.
Yeah, I think we skipped over one of those games that we just blew by and said it was a win.
Maybe okay, fair enough. So we'll give them another win. So I have them at 12-4. You have them at 12-4. And what's going to happen at home versus the Browns last week?
Yeah, I am hoping that we still have a chance to win home field advantage. And Cleveland at home, presuming the game means something, we're going to win. You know, presuming we're still playing for either home field advantage, or I really hope we're not playing to make the playoffs. But if it means something, we're going to win.
Well, it's interesting because the strength of the division, you probably say 13 wins that. But the way the Ravens, the Browns, horrible schedule that they've got to play against, and everyone's always picking the Steelers because they're the Steelers. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting. You're going to have to win 12 or 13, 14 games to win this division, and you'll need 12 or 13 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just now realizing we start and end the season with the Browns.
Yeah, that's weird. A little brown sandwich, as they call that.
Yeah.
In the old days, yeah. Wow, so they're 13-4. We're both on the same page. But, you know, honestly, I could have very easily given them 14-3, 15-2, because that Browns game early in the year, I gave them a loss. If Burrow comes out and plays the Burrow way, wow. I mean, it could have very easily been a 1 or 2 loss season.
Yeah.
So there you go. By the way, congratulations. The Red Sox have swept the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Very impressive.
I wish too bad we couldn't dial up your former podcaster Fishman for this.
Well, you
would love to hear it.
You can hear him crying from here. I can. He's all the way in Philly. I hear him crying.
You know what's great is he probably doesn't even care at this point anymore. He already forgot about the Yankee season.
Well, then
he's already checked out.
Yeah. Well, my dad is crying. That's for sure. I talked to him, and he's just sick. He's sick and tired of this Yankees. he wants Boone out of there. He wants Cashman out of there. He wants everybody but Judge out of there. That's what he wants.
Best team the money can buy, baby.
So true. So true. Them and the Mets. So there you go. Both of us agree the Bengals are going to have quite a season. Probably equal to last year, maybe a potential for even a better record, maybe to set their franchise record and team record in wins. So I'm going to have some fun here. I've had some predictions come in from show listeners and some I found from experts. And you tell me if you think any of these could happen this year.
Okay.
All right. Number one, Bengals win 14 games, still don't get the best record in the AFC.
Unfortunately, that could happen. Unfortunately, that can happen because the Chiefs are just really good.
Yeah.
They're in a division with the Raiders who aren't that great. Broncos who aren't that great. So, yeah, that could happen.
You match. That's incredible. That's incredible. This is an odd one. Bengals are going to finish dead last in rushing, but still lead the AFC in rushing touchdowns.
I'm not even sure where they finished last year for rushing. I don't think they can. We still throw. Burrow likes to throw the ball around the end zone too much. He likes to hit those receivers.
Yeah.
He likes to try to hit the tight end. So, I mean, we could be last in. I don't think either of those will happen. We'll probably rush just enough. You know, some teams like to run the ball to open up for the pass. We pass the ball that opens up the run a little bit. So
I was guessing the person was thinking they throw the ball a bunch, get down to the wall, you know, the 5-1, and it kind of hand it to Mixon, hand it to these.
Yeah, and run it in. Yeah, Burrow just loves to throw those little quick outs to the receivers on the goal line.
Yeah. All right. So it was fun to think. I can't imagine someone finishing dead last in rushing and leading. That would be unique.
Yeah.
All right. Burrow's injury lingers into the season and the Bengals falter. They win 8 games.
Nah, that's not going to happen. His injury isn't that bad. They're just being cautious.
All right. Well, here's another person who probably thinks that that's not true. Jake Browning wins more games this year for Bengals than Burrow or Trevor Siemian.
Oh, gosh, that would be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare of a season. Oh no, that better not happen.
Yeah. I think, you know what, I think former Cincinnati Reds pitcher Tom Browning has a better chance of winning that many games than Jake Browning.
Ugh, I don't even want to know how many games we'd win if Jake Browning was our starting quarterback.
Yikes. All right. So hopefully, or again, depends if I was a Steelers fan, that would be fun to see, but I don't expect it to happen. It would be a nightmare and they just call it quits after that. All right. Here's you know, you're playing fantasy football. Are you in any fantasy leagues this year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick one fantasy player from the Bengals, offense or defense. Who's your number one pick?
Jamar Chase, by a long shot. That guy is awesome.
He's amazing. He's top two, arguably 1-2 wide receivers in the game.
Other than he does seem to get dinged up a little bit. He's missed too many games over his first few years. You know, they're not bad injuries, but enough to keep him out of games.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, when that guy's healthy, there can not be many receivers better than him.
Now, is he that good of a receiver with Trevor Siemian throwing him?
Short ones. He might be all right because he's good at taking short passes and running with the ball. But let's not – don't speak that into existence, Adam. Let's not hear this Trevor Siemian and Jake Browning playing more than mop-up minutes, please.
Well, again, this is one reality. It's like the Marvel Universe or DC Universe, depending on what you like. These are alternate realities.
Yeah, I don't want to live those ones.
There you go. Fair enough. Now you've been you're a transplanted Bengals fan. You know, you haven't been a Bengals fan forever in your life, right?
Well, it's weird in that I grew up in Browns country, northeastern Ohio, and my dad was a Bengals fan, and my best friend was a Steelers fan. So I never liked the Browns. I always liked the Bengals and the Steelers.
Okay.
It worked out mostly that the Bengals were horrible. So it worked out well that I was a Steelers fan. Everyone say, how can you be a Bengals and a Steelers fan? I'm like, I was little. I didn't know any better. These were just the two. I didn't know what divisions were. These were just the two teams I liked when I was in kindergarten.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, you know, and, you know, I went to school and I went to college in Cincinnati. So, I mean, deep down, I've probably always been more of a Bengals fan. When I moved back to Cincinnati in early 2000s, you know, that just solidified it.
Yep.
But, you know, it was nice that I could also root for the Steelers when the Bengals were horrible. So, but now that I've moved back here, no more Steelers fan.
Okay.
No more.
That's from, well, at least now it kind of flip-flop now that you can, the Steelers are not that good compared to the Bengals. So you can root for them almost as out of pity. And then enjoy the Bengals' victories.
I do enjoy watching them lose. Yeah, Ruth. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, nice. There you go. Well, okay. Well,
and I did. You know, I liked Roethlisberger, Ohio boy, you know, quarterback in the Steelers. I always kind of rooted for him. Santonio Holmes, Buckeye. So they had a lot of Buckeyes, Cameron Hayward, all these, you know, so it was easy for me to root for him. Seemed to have a lot of guys that I liked.
There you go. Harrison was, you know, great defender out of Kent State.
Yep.
So Jack Lambert, by the way, great Steeler out of Kent State as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then what is, when you think about, what is your favorite memory from Bengals?
My favorite Bengals memory ever? It has to be when we just kicked that field goal to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. Oh, that was – watching it with my son, who's a gigantic Bengals fan, you know, just almost in like disbelief, like, did this really happen? And then just the whole city of Cincinnati was just, you know, it's just living in the city is more fun. It was just so great, you know, to be able to soak that in for a few weeks. Yeah, that was, and then, you know, hits a 50 plus yard field goal to win on the road. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
It was, and again, as a Steeler fan, to see the young kicker hit in McPherson, it was beautiful. My favorite memory, Bengals wise, and it's due to an unfortunate situation, was 1989. Again, I was a senior in high school, Super Bowl 23. I had injured my back and was bedridden and unable to wrestle, so I missed a bunch of wrestling matches. So I'm in bed, unable to move, in agonizing pain, watching the Super Bowl Niners Bengals Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Icky Shuffle, and Max Montoya and Anthony Munoz offensive line. I was in pain, but you know, eating all these gift baskets that family and friends sent over and just watching the game was glorious.
Yeah, just another one of those games. Hey, we're winning. We just need to stop Joe Montana and
Joe
Jerry
Montana
Rice
and Jerry Rice and yeah,
to win
but
the Super Bowl.
Still, Icky Shuffle. Come on, you
yeah,
know, it
Icky's
was.
still shuffling in Cincinnati these days.
Well, they, you know, so as we look at it, it's going to be, well, I think both of us expect quite a Cincinnati season. Again, we don't like betting, but FanDuel is predicting over under 11.5 wins, which is the highest so far out of any of the teams I previewed. We both have them with 13 wins. So I think we're all in favor of a very strong Bengals year.
Yeah. Are you allowed to bet in New Jersey?
You are allowed to bet. It
Oh,
is
okay.
legal. Yep. But again,
okay.
If you, listeners, if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Matt, as always, thank you again for coming on the show. This should be a very fun year for the AFC North. All four teams could be 10 wins, like the AL East this year in Major League Baseball. All teams above 500. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you think the Red Sox have a chance to sneak into the playoffs?
Oh boy, sure. They'd have to catch the teams in front of them are all pretty good. Sure, they have a chance. People are coming back healthy.
Yeah, they got Trevor. Trevor Story comes back, they start winning.
Yeah, you know, really. On another note, what I'm more excited about is, you know, living in Cincinnati for almost 20 years now, is that I've developed a real affinity for the Reds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So watching this young team play has been maybe the most fun season I've watched in a while. So
you got a nice third baseman there.
Yeah. And they just keep moving. You know, this has to be, I've never seen a team move this many good rookies to their major league team in one season ever. Like it's crazy. It's fun to watch.
Yes.
I think they're going to run out of steam, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah, well, the Cubs are strong, but it is fun to watch a young team like that.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you again for listening to Talking with People at QF Production, hosted by Adam Pallant. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook so you'll be alerted to future episodes, and hit the follow button where you find your podcast. And while you're at it, if you're enjoying the show, leave a review. Right, not right, Matt? Leave a review.
Only good ones, though.
Hey, true. Hey, if you want to get on the show or you want to chat with me, you can also reach me directly through Twitter at LoneDog71. Keep your eyes and ears out for next few episodes. We have fun guests coming up. We're previewing the Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and more. Now we're going to hear some closing music by Jason Licht. He's got freshman at the College of New Jersey. Take it away, Jay.